All right, that was a soundbite that had everybody talking earlier today from John Morosi on MLB Network. 50%, huh? Then Gator, you just found this from a Baltimore station, which appears to be 105.7. And they have a listener poll where they ask them, you know, it's basically coming down to the trade deadline. And the Orioles have not yet made a big move. The question on Twitter says, some still linking them to Scooble, T. Scott, and other names. Mike Elias clearly more comfortable on the margin, so we ask Birdland, Oriole fans.
There you go.
Will he make a blockbuster? Yes, he will. 48.8%. That's not how he rolls. 51.2%.
That's pretty close to 50-50.
Pretty close to 50-50.
Morosi has his finger on the pulse of Baltimore. At least the fans. His is not about the fans. This is about the trade itself.
I don't want to overplay or underplay what all that means. It does feel like something has changed on the Baltimore end, doesn't it?
I don't know if it's changed or not. I just think that if Baltimore is going to do this, they can slow play this. The deadline is tomorrow at 6. They got time. Sure, they're waiting to see what some other dominoes have fallen. You're going to get the Michael Lorenzen was traded, and the return was it was basically traded straight up for a bullpen arm, albeit one that strikes out a ton of batters. But that's all it was. So obviously Flaherty better than that, and Scooble better than Flaherty. So just trying to gauge the market, see what's going out there, and they're trying to get the best deal they can. And the longer they talk. I don't know. I don't think the value goes up on the. I think that the value is what the value is for Scooble. The question is, does Baltimore want to pay the price? Do the Dodgers want to pay the price? Because it doesn't seem like any other team in baseball can afford what the Tigers' asking price would be for Tarik Scooble. But Baltimore clearly can. They clearly can.
Yeah, it's. It feels like this is the organization, and this is the year that if you're going to make a move. If you have a Tarik Scooble and you're going to make a move, this is the rare chance you have to score a mammoth haul of prospects in return. I would still lean towards the 50% that says it doesn't happen, but it feels like it's more possible now than it was Friday.
Yeah, I mean, I'm more than leaning that it doesn't happen. I just don't think it's going to happen. But could it? Sure, it could.
Mm-hmm. 248-539-9797. Okay, you asked a question last weekend, Gator, and I got a chance to answer it over the weekend, somewhat generically, just by watching the Olympic Games. You asked, what sports do we parachute in on and suddenly become experts in? The two sports that I found myself commenting on, one, synchronized diving.
You become an expert now?
The 3-meter springboard. I felt bad for the Aussies who had their last dive go awry, cost them a medal. And I thought our dives looked better than China's dives. China won. I think we took silver. But I was like, our dives, we look better than them. I didn't quite understand why we didn't have better scores than the Chinese in synchronized diving.
Channeling your inner Louganis, figure this out.
Yeah, whatever. I was channeling what I thought looked better. So I had problems with the synchronized diving scoring. And I was thinking back, have I ever watched this sport before? No. How qualified am I to comment? Zero. But I thought we looked better than the Chinese.
Well, now I feel like an ass for not watching it. Because clearly I'm qualified. I've seen more diving competition in my life, Doug, than anybody in this building.
Well, I suppose you're more qualified than I. So I'd have no issue with that.
And yet, no, when it came time for the swim meets for the diving, half the time you would walk out because it's your time. I got to stretch out. There we go. Okay. When it was either watching my brother compete in swimming and that part of the meet would happen, or if when I was swimming and the diving happened and you're forced to watch it because you're part of the team. And the reason I didn't want to watch it because I didn't want to see somebody smack their head on a board, which I've seen a couple times happen.
Ouch.
And it's not pretty. Or to see somebody just not do the full rotation and just smack on the water. These divers are a little bit more experienced than the ones I saw with the high school competition.
Yeah.
Nonetheless, I wouldn't.
High school competition sounds hilarious, man.
I got to tell you, man. I saw
not the head hitting the board thing, but the back diving into the pool with your back or whatever belly flop.
I saw somebody smack on their back so hard in a meet one time, and because high school swimming is during the winter time, the door outside to get outside if you wanted to, they had like an emergency door that was just beyond where the diving pool was. This kid was in such rough shape.
You're laughing right now, man. See, I'm telling you.
He smacked his back. And his coach went out, opened up the door in the middle of winter, you know, to grab some snow and bring it in to put it on his back.
Oh, my God.
To help ice it down. It was crazy. I've seen,
wow.
I've seen some things, man. Seen some things.
It's fun.
The parents, the audible gasp from parents when they're watching kids do like inward dives, because that's like the highest level of potential to have the smack of that. Nobody wants it. You don't want that. When you see it, you're like, oh.
Well, in the synchronized diving, when I saw the Aussies blow it in their last dive, I thought they did two separate dives. I was like,
they were not in sync.
Like one of them went with the, you know, the,
they went all Backstreet Boys instead.
One went, you know, double pike. The other one went
double pike.
Yeah.
Wait, were they joining a fraternity? What was going on?
Triple backflip. I was like, did they just do two separate dives? Then they showed the replay, and the one girl just hit the side corner of the board, and it launched her off in the wrong direction and completely.
Oh, that's too bad.
Kang, you parachute in on any sport and become an expert?
So I think it's always going to be a sport that's being judged, because everything else that you just watch in the clock, if it's a race, right, you're like, all right, that's easy enough. This guy was faster. This girl was faster. For me, I'm going to say, because no one else will, it's a marquee event. It's gymnastics. No one knows gymnastics, right? Let's not pretend that we know anything about gymnastics. But we parachute in. It's a marquee event every Summer Olympics. It's on prime time. They'll replay it or whatever. And we all act like we know what we're watching. And we don't. We don't. I've been told Simone Biles is the GOAT. I'm not going to argue that, because I don't know. Right. That's what I've been told by everybody. She has apparently the most difficult stuff that she can do. I'll take everyone else's word for it that knows more than me, but I don't know. I'm just all we know is if they fall down or not. That's it.
I'm still not sure. Like the vault, when you're running to approach the vault and you hit the little springboard and go over the horse, I'm always shocked when they start doing handsprings before they get to the springboard. Like they're doing tricks before they even hit the springboard, and I'm like,
is that necessary?
Is that legal?
Do we start the judging on that, or is it once they hit the springboard and when do we start judging?
Yeah, do I judge the moment they start running down am I looking at how good the run is?
Do I get more points if I skip my Lou on the way up there as opposed to just a sprint?
Yeah. If we combine the triple jump with this, they do a triple jump and land on the springboard and then go over?
If I do some rolling thunder leading up to that, am I going to get more points? How does this work?